We're going to go right out to Washington, D.C., where Congressman Don Manzullo is standing by. Don, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good to talk to you.
Same here.
Thank you for your time. Cut, cap, and balance.
Mm-hmm.
You support it, and will it pass today?
I support it. What it does is it tries to apply pressure at several different levels in order to bring this incredible spending under control. And I don't care who's in the White House, whether it's Republican or Democrat, as far as I'm concerned, everybody spent too much money. So I'm not sitting here playing the name game and blaming a particular party. And what this does is it says that there'll be several billion dollars cut up front, cut immediately from present spending. And then it puts us on a 10-year glide path towards bringing spending as a percentage of gross domestic product down to about 18%. It's now close to 23%. As part of this bill, it says the Congress will go along with raising the debt limit by $2.4 trillion, provided both houses of Congress also pass by the requisite constitutional majority, which is two-thirds, a balanced budget amendment and send it off to the states. 49 states have the equivalent of a balanced budget amendment. And the federal government is recklessly out of control, $14.5 trillion in debt. So that's why we need a lot of discipline in order to stop this egregious spending.
And yet the balanced budget amendment to the Constitution is not likely to pass the Senate. So then what?
Well, nothing happens in the Senate. That's unfortunate. Now, back in 1995, the balanced budget amendment passed the House by two-thirds, but it failed to pass the Senate by one vote. And to think of what would happen if we had imposed that type of fiscal constraint back in 1995, the difference that would have made in the total spending that goes on is phenomenal. So, anything is possible, but you can't. We've got to stop the practice of people simply going in the back room and printing money. That's why we are where we are, where we're in the present predicament. Now, the president wants to raise taxes, even though he said several times that you never raise taxes in the midst of a recession. And he picks on the people that fly in corporate jets. I'll tell you, Ken, there are thousands of people in the Rock River Valley that depend upon making parts, seats, etc., for corporate jets. And just to sit there and to pick away at somebody because they use a corporate jet or a yacht. And so now we're in the predicament where he wants to raise taxes on people that earn in excess of $250,000 a year. That's a couple. An individual that earns $200,000. Now, that's a lot of money, especially for the Midwest. But of those people in that income tax bracket, over 74% of them actually receive income from business interests. I mean, these are small business people. Maybe that's not the mom-and-pop store that you would see, but there are a lot of people out there, and probably many in the Rockford area, that earn that kind of money. And if you raise taxes on people that are making that income, that will suck out something like, I think it's about $10 billion over more than that, about $100 billion over a 10-year period of time, money that would go back into investing in the business, back into buying more equipment, in order to become more productive to compete with people like the Chinese.
So the Republican majority in the House is not going to budge, no tax increase of any kind?
That's correct. Now, there's another school of thought. In fact, I just got a report by Doc Colburn. He's the senator from Oklahoma. And he goes through about 600 pages, item by item, of tax breaks, many of those could be eliminated, and these are the classic tax loopholes. And so, you know, somebody has to take a look at those, but generally, and with regard to earned income and payroll taxes, there's absolutely no sentiment in the Republican ranks and in many Democrat ranks to raise taxes.
Don Manzullo is the congressman from the 16th District in Northern Illinois. Our phone number is 874-8255. Dave, thank you for holding your on with Congressman Manzullo.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Dave.
Are you familiar with the Graham-Rudman Act?
Yeah, that was passed in the 80s. That was supposed to, Graham-Rudman was supposed to put brakes on spending, and it never worked.
So it is a law.
It's the law. They just kept on funding the decreased spending down the line on it.
So basically everybody in Washington, D.C. is breaking the Graham-Rudman Act.
That's correct.
Well, what's the point of another law? You guys haven't followed the last one for the last 30 years.
Well, that's why we're going the route of a constitutional amendment. I mean, you need some real constraints upon the size of this government and the way people spend money. I mean, there are over 10,000 federal programs. Programs get created every day, and it's very difficult to end a program once it starts. So that's why it's important to have the constitutional strap over Congress and the White House to stop the egregious spending.
Okay, one last question. So what's the difference between a constitutional amendment and the Graham-Rudman bill? And I'll hang up and listen and thank you for your
time. Graham-Rudman bill, it's a legislative act passed by both houses, signed by the president, which is subject to change by the next Congress or even the next day. And that's what happens. The constitutional amendment is binding, somebody can go to court to constrict the power of Congress, and the courts can take a look at it and say what Congress has done is obviously unconstitutional because it violates the Constitution. It makes for a stronger restraint upon the excessive spending that's going on in Washington.
President Obama stated, I believe it was last week, Congressman, that if there is no compromise before August 2nd, Social Security checks may not go out next month. Was that basically an idle political threat?
Well, we're not sure, but Ken, what it does show is that there is no Social Security trust fund. I mean, that's the reality of a statement. The government owes about $14.5 trillion, about $5.5 trillion to itself. Now you figure that one out. Where the government borrows money from itself in order to pay bills. Well, this is phony money, and the government should be taking in about $177 billion during the month of August. Medicare and Social Security make up about $110 billion of that, somewhere in that area. But by law, the first amount of money I have to go to pay the interest on the national debt. Instead of playing his cards before the press, and I guess this would apply to both sides, they should be in a locked room coming up with something that's acceptable to the American people that doesn't raise taxes. It's not that hard, but the president said from the beginning that he wants to get rid of the so-called Bush tax cuts because he doesn't like people flying corporate jets. He needs to visit Scandia in Davis Junction, where about 70 people are employed making seats for private business jets. And he needs to visit Hamilton Sunstrand and Woodward Governor and Ingenium and a host of probably 80 or 90 other manufacturers in the Rockford area that make parts for private jets before he talks about that. But that's the problem. He gets us involved in class warfare, gets people all upset about talking about private jets. It's just amazing. It's not that hard to stop the spending, but he's unwilling to do that.
Mickey, you're on WNTA with 16th District Congressman Don Manzullo. Mickey, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Mickey.
How are you doing?
Good.
Okay, I was watching C-SPAN, and I was watching the budget debates and stuff in Denver. What I gathered from what everybody was saying, I was listening to arguments and basically, you're right on target with what they were saying last night. But my question is, why do the Democrats refuse to give up control over the purse strings? Because technically, really, with the constitutional amendment, that's what you're doing. You're saying Congress has been irresponsible throughout a long term and have basically, I mean, this is what I understood of it. Basically, you know, the Republicans are saying, we no longer can trust ourselves, so what we're going to do is we're going to make it so that the people of the United States and the states have the ability to have more control from we, the people, over the purse strings, as opposed to just Congress, because Congress has been irresponsible for so long and has put us in a certain circumstance. And I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Well, you're absolutely
Mickey.
Correct. The Constitution has to pass Congress by two-thirds. It has to, then three-fourths of the states have to ratify it. The states can determine the manner in which they want it ratified. But it really places the power back in the hands of the people. It serves as a rein on Congress and said, look, you can't spend money that you don't have. And you're going to be you have to be forced to live within the amount of money that's coming in. And with $14 trillion in debt, if you take a kid who's 6 or 7 years old, by the time that kid goes into the workforce, one of the tax organizations in town factored exactly what would be the impact on income tax rates. Income tax rates would have to double just in order to service the debt. Congressman Paul Ryan has used that example time and time again. And I mean, I've got to think about my kids, the grandkids that I wish would come right away, and say, you know, I've got to make the decisions now. I'm not going to punt this off to my kids and grandkids and have them see a nation in financial shreds.
Al, you're on WNTA with Congressman Don Manzullo. Al, thank you for your call. Good morning.
Thanks for taking my
call. Good morning, Al.
Good morning. Say, I was wondering if we could get some comment out of you over Sheila Jackson Lee's comments. And the playing of the race card?
I did not actually hear what she said. I read clips of it, but she's a pretty controversial person, and I'm just not going to comment on somebody's comment. I just don't think that would be appropriate.
Yeah, well, and also, I was wondering, you know, with the debt where we're at, are we looking at cutting back considerably on foreign aid to other countries? And
absolutely. I sit on the Foreign Affairs Committee.
Thanks,
and there's a program that was started not too long ago that wants to spend $30 million, and a good chunk of that will go for somebody to develop a bicycle that's run by a fuel cell. Those inventions are already out there, and I asked the director of USAID, who's in my office about a month ago, I said, why are you spending money like this? The purpose of foreign aid is to, you know, is for sanitation systems, to stop diseases and things like that. He said, well, we have to invest in alternative types of energy. And I said, that's not your job. Well, when the bill comes before the Foreign Affairs Committee, I've got an amendment to stop that $30 million program. I mean, if people just spend money thinking it's going to magically show up, but it's not there.
Once again, our guest is Congressman Don Manzullo. Should you have any quick questions or comments for the Congressman, our number is 815-874-8255. Don, is there a firm date for opening, dedicating the federal courthouse in downtown Rockford?
I told the guys at the courthouse that I want everything done by September 9th, and we'll set up an open house, a dedication sometime towards the end of September. If it's up to me, I want to invite the prime contractor who comes from Georgia, or the architect who comes from Boston, or the GSA that's logged down in the Moss in Washington, D.C. That courthouse is running three times what it should have cost.
Are there any plans to invite the president to town that day?
I don't know. I have to talk to Durbin about it, but I don't see why he would show up for dedication of a courthouse.
Albert, you're on WNTA with Congressman Don Manzullo. Albert, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Ken. Good morning, Albert. Senator Manzullo.
Yes, sir.
This question about the president wants everybody that's making more than $250,000 to take a tax hit. I mean, to increase the taxes a little bit. Now, in order to do that, that means that all the senators, congressmen, all of you guys would have to raise, I mean, to would vote for a tax increase on yourself, right?
No. I don't know.
Does every one of y'all make more than $250,000 a year?
No.
And that taxes would hit each and every one of you.
No, the members of Congress make $174,000.
Well, with perks, you get up over $250,000.
I imagine raising taxes on yourself. If you had outside income, you could.
Okay. That's like raising taxes on yourself, right? And I don't see you guys jumping on the bandwagon to do that. And another question, and I'll hang up and listen. We're in three wars. And if you don't raise the debt ceiling, how do you plan on funding these three wars that we're in? This is where all that money is going.
All right. Thank you, Albert.
Well, first of all, the debt ceiling has to be raised. It was raised 17 times under Reagan, and I think 7 times under both President Bush's and maybe 4 times under President Clinton. But you have to realize that until 9/11 came along, we were in the process of paying off the national debt, and the ceiling had gone up before then because the ceiling goes up to pay treasury bills and notes that are due, the expenditures of the federal government, and so we were on a glide path towards wiping out the whole national debt until 9/11 came along, and that sparked incredible disaster on it. A second thing is, under President Obama's health care bill, we call it Obamacare, and I guess that's okay, that already provides for additional taxes. It's about $210 billion to be raised over a period of 10 years, including, for the first time, applying a Medicare 2.9 payroll tax to investment income, including dividends, interest income, and capital gains, plus an additional 0.9% of Medicare tax for singles who earn more than $200,000 and couples making more than $250,000. So there are other tax increases that are already in the offing to pay for Obamacare. My big concern is this, Ken. The people that earn that kind of money are the successful small business people who take that money and they turn right around and they reinvest it in brand new equipment. I mean, there are tens of people all across our congressional district that fall into that category. And instead of paying taxes and sending the money to Washington, where it loses at least 30 or 40% of the bureaucratic shrink, they take that money and reinvest it in new equipment and actually hire new people. Those are the job creators. So why would we increase taxes on the people who are the job creators?
Are you pressed for time, Don? Do you have to go?
I actually do, Ken. We've got a big vote coming up on it, and I would like to take more time.
Do you have a couple more minutes?
I have a couple more minutes. Okay. Of course I do.
Okay. Chris, thank you for holding your on with 16th District Congressman Don Manzullo. Chris, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Ken.
Morning.
You know, I'm a conservative Republican. In my opinion, representative government has failed this country. This is a hole we will never get out of. The people that we have elected into the Congress are not smart enough to get us out of this hole. Correct?
Well, let me just put it this way. If everybody in Congress had voted as conservatively as I have, and as you would if you had been in Congress, we wouldn't be in this pickle.
Well, we wouldn't be this deep, but we haven't had a balanced budget in the federal government since when? One year when Bill Clinton was in there, and that was during the dot-com boom?
It's been a long time, that's correct.
All right, so, I mean, if we keep on spending, representative government's failed. We got $13 trillion. We got states that are, how many billion are we in debt in Illinois? You guys don't have the smarts to pick what we got.
Well, you know what?
And I'm just sorry that, you know, that's the country that I live in, and I give half of my money. Half of everything I make goes to the government, whether it's local, state, or federal, all together. Half of what I make, Don.
You guys, right. And you obviously
have failed.
Thank you, Chris.
Well, you know, Chris represents people who are just totally disillusioned with and what's happening in Washington.
And I'm
in his camp. But you know what? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out you don't spend more than you take in. And when Chris says the people in Washington aren't smart enough to figure that out, he's probably right.
Jack, you're on NTA with Congressman Don Manzullo. Jack, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. Just a couple
of morning, Jack.
Hey, good morning, Don. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I went to Auburn a couple years after you.
Gold Knights.
A couple quick questions. If lower taxes save jobs, why is Dish Network and everybody else have their phone reps overseas? Why did Polaris snowmobiles move to Mexico? And under Obamacare, from what I understand, isn't everybody trying to be covered? Without Obamacare, what Americans don't need to be covered with health insurance?
Thanks, Jack.
Well, let's try to figure out what the question is. I think it's more of a comment.
What more can Congress do to prevent American-based companies from going to setting up operations overseas in other countries?
I appreciate that. Can I spend probably 60-70% of my time working on manufacturing issues? And we're in the midst of a huge fight going on now to see if America is going to have enough what's called permanent magnets in order to put into our guided missile systems and our cell phones, etc., because China controls 97% of the market on that. And so, you know, we're fighting with our own government so we can build up a supply of these magnets. I'm fighting with the federal government that listed styrene, which is that makes the polyethers, that makes polystyrene, and other products that go into making resins used for the production of plastics. And because of this regulation saying that styrene is a carcinogen, that could push plastic manufacturers overseas. So there are a lot of issues that are going on, but we are seeing something very interesting here. I've talked to several gear companies. One in particular has picked up recently three contracts where gears were made in China and they're returning to the United States. In fact, I was talking to David Joyce 2 days ago, who is 3 days ago. He is the president of GE Aerospace. And GE Aerospace in Rockford has closed facilities overseas. They're actually becoming more integrated in their manufacturing, meaning they're buying machine tools, they're hiring people to run those machines. And you go into that shop and you see chips flying and you smell machine oil. So we're seeing a pattern taking place of a lot of manufacturing being returned to this country.
Annie,
a long way to go.
Annie, you're a final caller for the congressman. Good morning. You're on WNTN.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Annie. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And I'm glad to hear Frieda is as well.
The miracle
I'm
lady
sure
is the miracle.
Good. I'm sure you're aware of the two Navy, never finished Navy ships head to a scrap heap. I know you must be aware of it. $300 million for two ships that never sailed. This is ridiculous. And as I understand it, I don't think they're even going to be dismantled here in this country. It's just sickening what's going on.
Andy, there's a new Navy ship that they spend all the money on that they'll never commission? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
It's it was posted by the Virginia pilot on the 15th of this month.
Well, that's pretty poor planning. That's why whenever you plan a whole new genre of ships, you better know what you're doing. And I think you're referring to his wasted tens of billions of dollars on planning a whole new ship. Now the Navy doesn't plan to use it. So it's pretty sad. The problem is that it takes so long to plan these new ships, and oftentimes they're planned when the economy can afford to build them. And then when it gets ready to build them, the money's not there, and so they have to decide whether or not to increase debt or just to scrap the project and go on with what they have.
Congressman, great to talk to you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ken. We'll talk to you later.
All right, bye-bye. 10:35, we'll be back.